and welcome to another episode of Successful Inventing. I'm your host, Ken Johnson. Today we're going to discuss the key elements of a license agreement. Now, last week we spoke about licensing in general. We explained what a license agreement is, how it works, and how you benefit as an inventor by licensing your invention. Today, however, we're going to discuss the key elements of the license agreement, things that you should be looking for, requesting, and things to look out for when preparing or before you sign a license agreement. So let's jump in. First, one of the things you're going to be concerned about when you're licensing your invention is whether you will retain the intellectual property rights. Now, your intellectual property as an inventor will be either a patent, it could be a copyright, it could be a trademark, or some other intellectual property in the form of a trade secret, a design patent, etc. So generally speaking, IP is your registered ownership of your invention. That could be, again, in the form of a patent, copyright, trademark, etc. So the question is, will you retain the IP? Now, in many cases, the inventor does retain the IP. However, what they're actually licensing is the right to manufacture and distribute the invention. So the inventor holds on to the copyright, patent, and licenses to the licensee the right to manufacture and distribute that invention. Now, in my industry, the game industry, it's probably more common for the inventor to hold on to the IP. But there are cases where the inventor, when they license the invention, they're also relinquishing the right of the IP or the ownership of the IP in exchange for a royalty. So I've seen both. I've seen cases where the inventor licenses or actually relinquishes through the license ownership of the IP, be it a patent, trademark, etc. Or they retain the ownership, so they never relinquish their IP, but they license the manufacturing and distribution rights to that IP. Now, in my own personal case, I've retained ownership of the Phase 10 intellectual property all of these years. I've been licensing for over 30 years, and all that time, I've retained ownership of the IP. So what I've licensed is the right to manufacture and produce. Now, when you license that right, that means that, generally speaking, depending on the stipulations in the agreement, I cannot go out and start making Phase 10 games. What I've licensed is that right to manufacture and distribute those games in exchange for a royalty. So in my case, in working with Mattel as my licensee, I can no longer manufacture Phase 10s or distribute them, but I relinquished that right to Mattel in exchange for a royalty. And since I've retained ownership of the IP, I've also had other stipulations in my license or contract with Mattel that give me certain other rights as the IP owner, which we'll discuss a bit later. So again, one of the main things you'll want to determine when you're preparing or working on a license agreement with a licensee, you have to decide, are you going to retain IP? In the case of a licensee, sometimes they don't care about owning the IP, other times they might. So you have to discern what's going to be best for you and your new partner. Relinquishing the IP is not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that you no longer own that IP, but if your contract is solid, you can retain the right for a royalty. The reason I've never relinquished my IP was my thought pattern was that if my licensee somehow breached the license agreement, I did not want to have to go after them to recover the IP. As long as I own the IP and they breached the agreement, my only concern at that point is recovering the manufacturing and distribution rights or having that license agreement terminated with those rights of manufacturing and distribution. So it makes it a little easier. You don't have to go back and try to get that IP back from them. You just have to go back and get the production rights from them while owning the IP. In other cases, relinquishing the IPs, for instance, in the case of a patent, is not necessarily a bad thing because the patent at some point is going to expire anyway. So holding on to the IP, you can't do that for 30 years in the case of a patent, as I could or any other person that owns IP centered around trademarks and copyrights, because they last such a long time. I think, generally speaking, it's a good idea to hold on to those rights, hold on to the IP. So that's one key element and a very important one that's usually laid out early on in the contract. Another thing to be looking at is the assignment. What exactly are you assigning to the licensee? Again, if you're not going to retain the IP, then you're going to relinquish it in the form of an assignment to the licensee. The retention of the IP, again, is part of this whole thing, and you must address it early on. If you're going to relinquish it, you have to assign it. If you're going to retain it, then what you're licensing is the distribution rights. Now, another thing to be looking out for in your license agreement is the prosecution of infringers. Who is going to be responsible for prosecuting, or in other words, going after an infringer of the IP? In most cases, your licensee, assuming that you have retained the IP, your licensee will still require that is their ultimate responsibility to go back after infringers. They usually don't want to leave it to the licensor, you, because they don't know your financial situation and they don't want to be beholden to or somehow under your control as it relates to going after infringers. They want that responsibility. They want to control that. And in some sense, they feel as though they can control the outcome of any litigation against infringers. They don't want to leave that in your hands because they've got a lot invested in their effort to produce and distribute your product, your invention. So usually in your license agreement, the licensee will want the right to go after infringers. Now, what they will also usually request is that you be on the lookout for infringers. If you find any infringement, usually in the agreement, it will be stipulated that you are required to inform them of any infringement that you see. This helps them and it helps you. So if you find infringement, as I've done at times with Phase 10, I've actually found infringers of the trademark Phase 10 as it relates to mobile applications. And I've informed Mattel, and then we put together a process between the two parties, Mattel and myself, to go after the infringers. So you have to determine that and work with your licensee. And usually they will want to own the right to go after infringers. On your part, though, if you've that given the responsibility of chasing down infringers to your licensee, you will want a provision in the contract that requires them to do so at some level. Now, this is critical. If you spot an infringer, or say they become aware of one, you want to make sure they go after them and don't just allow them to infringe on your IP. So part of the contract should state that they're required to go after them. And between the two parties, you'll want to determine at what level of infringement, meaning in the case of mobile apps, when we spotted them, if we find that their download volume is very low, we sometimes don't worry too much about them. We'll send a threatening letter if we can, or we'll contact Google or the App Store and say, look, they're infringing on our IP, and both app stores have a process to go after them, and it's called a takedown notice. So they'll contact the infringing mobile developer, say you're infringing, and we've determined that, and we're taking you out of our app store. And that's an easy process. But in other cases, it may be more difficult to go after infringers without spending a lot of money. So in some cases, you'll have to work things out with your licensee to determine how and at what level of infringement will you go after them. Now, it's important to go after them because if you don't, you may lose your IP rights. So you'll have to determine when do you go after them and in what process. In other words, do you immediately file a lawsuit, which is costly, or do you send them a threatening letter first and hope that they back down? In many cases, they will back down once they've been called out on the infringement. So you have to decide between the two, yourself and your partner, how you're going to deal with them and at what level of infringement will you start to chase them down and when. You can't let it just happen, but you can't go after infringers spending a lot of money through lawsuits when you may have been able to get them to stop with just a simple letter. So another thing, a key element to keep in mind when you're negotiating your license agreement is the simple fact that everything in the agreement is negotiable. What I have found in dealing with hundreds, if not thousands, of inventors and seeing hundreds of license agreement proposals, that in most cases, the license agreements are drafted by the licensee. They want to draft the agreement and send it to you. And when that happens, you have to bear in mind, regardless of what they've put in the agreement, everything in there is negotiable. So they may say the royalty is X and you want it to be Y, you negotiate that. They may say you go after infringers and we won't. You can negotiate that. And in most cases, you want them going after the infringers because they have the deepest pockets. There may be audit concerns. They may say you can only audit once in 5 years, and you may say, no, I want to be able to audit annually at my discretion. So if that's the case and you decide to negotiate things, just remember, no matter what they have in the agreement, you can negotiate anything, in or out. Again, we've talked about IP enforcement. There will be usually a provision in the agreement that they've sent to you that discusses who enforces the IP. And as we've talked about, usually you want them to be responsible for it. And they usually want that right as well. Another thing in the agreement that may be a boilerplate thing for the licensee in the draft that they sent you will be the royalty. What amount will be in that initial agreement they send you will be determined initially by them. However, regardless of what's there, you should be able to negotiate a royalty that's more pleasing to you. Now, most companies are fair when they offer you a royalty. They know what the industry standard is, and usually they're fair about that. So I would not get overly concerned about the royalty rate. Usually it's within the norms, but if it's way out of the norms, you'll want to negotiate that. And I can't tell you what the norm is for every given industry, but you can do the research, check with the association that your prospective licensee is involved with. They will be able to give you some idea what royalty rates look like, and ask around, talk to other inventors in that space, and just ask them what the range of royalty is. They likely won't tell you what their royalty might be, but they will give you a range. So think about that as well. And as it relates to the royalty, you'll need to decide, do you want a lump sum or do you want to be paid quarterly? How's that going to look? Typically, royalties are paid quarterly, particularly when you have not given up the IP. Usually it's just a quarterly payment going into the future. If you relinquish the IP, oftentimes there's a lump sum payment. They will pay you once and that's it. That's your royalty. I've seen that happen, particularly when it relates to patented products. In fact, I helped one of the inventors in the groups I'm involved with. I helped him negotiate his royalty that came in the form of a lump sum as he was giving up or signing the patent rights to his invention. So usually lump sum payments come when you're giving up the IP. Usually it's related to a patented product or invention, and you just want to get a lump sum and move on. Most common, though, is a quarterly payment paid by the licensee every quarter based on wholesale pricing. As it relates to royalties also, you'll want a guaranteed minimum annual royalty. It may not have that wording or that phraseology, but that's what you want, is a guaranteed minimum annual royalty. What does that mean? Well, you want in the contract that they have to pay you X amount every year as a royalty, regardless of whether or not the invention has sold enough to merit that minimum payment. This guarantees that your licensee will work hard to make sure that they've earned enough in sales to meet that minimum. Now, if they don't meet the minimum for whatever reason, usually they'll want the option to make a payment meeting that minimum in order to hold on to the license of the invention. In other cases, if they don't meet the minimum, you could require that the contract be terminated at that point and you get all of your rights back. So that's up to you. It's negotiable, but the key here is to make sure there is a minimum hurdle, a minimum royalty that they have to pay you annually, and whether or not they pay that based on sales or they pay that in anticipation of sales, it doesn't matter to you as long as they meet that minimum. And again, that minimum annual royalty is negotiable. Yeah, you must be fair and reasonable because you don't want to scare off your licensee. But at the same time, you want to make sure that they are working to achieve sales, and a guaranteed minimum usually helps to ensure that they do. Along with that guaranteed minimum, I usually request in my license agreements that there's an annual escalator. And that means that annually or every 2 or 3 years, that minimum amount is increased. So to give you an example, let's say your annual minimum royalty is, let's pick a number, let's say it's $100,000. If that's the minimum they have to pay you annually, then every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever you've negotiated, that minimum $100,000 grows by maybe $5,000 or $10,000. So if your annual escalator is truly annual or every year, Then you start with your minimum. Let's say it's 100 grand. And let's say that that escalator is $10,000. So in year two, that minimum will be 110. In year three, it would be 120, and so on. So again, I'm just giving you an example. You negotiate what works best with you and your licensee, but make sure there's an annual escalator in your agreement. One more thing, and then we'll have part two of this next week. So one other thing to keep in mind is that you want sales and royalty benchmarks. Now this ties to the annual escalator, but most appropriately, it works with the guaranteed annual minimum. You want sales and royalty benchmarks. The sales benchmark could look like this. It could say that annually they have to sell, for instance, $2 million worth of product a year. And your guaranteed minimum could be based on that. The same with the royalty benchmark. If they, the royalty benchmark is the same thing as a guaranteed minimum. They have to meet that basic threshold. So they have to pay you X amount in royalties annually, or they could lose the license depending on how you've worded the contract. So again, all these provisions are negotiable, but these are key elements of a license agreement, and I wanted to make sure you understood these things and we talked about them today. So tune in next week. We have about, another dozen or so provisions that I think are critical key elements of a license agreement, and we'll discuss those next week, okay? Thanks for listening in. Again, this is Ken Johnson, and thanks for tuning in to Successful Inventing.